We're so glad that you joined us today for this podcast from Bishop Quentin Moore and the Father's House in Hutchinson, Kansas. God loves you and wants the best for you, and we want to hear what God is doing in your life. Share your story with us by sending an email to mystory@fathershouse.net. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at fathershouse.net/give. Just select the option that works for you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
If you got a Bible, go with me. I'm going to read one little verse out of Thessalonians, and they're going to try to keep up with me. I so appreciate Lucas. I didn't get him notes until like 5 minutes till nine this morning. So one little verse out of Thessalonians. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, in everything, say everything. Touch your other neighbor, say in everything. In the good, the bad, the ugly, in the stinky, in the fragrant, say in everything. Say everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. People always ask me, what is God's will? That you are grateful people. Amen. The will of God is that we become grateful people, which really is a lost art. Have you ever been around and people never say please or thank you or excuse me or you're welcome? They have no manners. Have you noticed how much the world, I travel a bit, and through the airport, you'd think we were all mules. It's serious. We just bump into each other, rub on one another. Nobody ever says please, thank you, excuse me, how are you? But he said in everything, say in everything. If I would go over to Psalm 150, he says, and let everything that has breath, I got five people. Everything that has, who in here has breath? Woo! Just asking. In everything give thanks, and let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I think we need some PhDs in gratitude. I've decided that maybe we ought to graduate from the school of gratitude, that maybe we ought to move to the next level of gratitude, that maybe we ought to anticipate the fact that we ought to be able to work in gratitude. We're headed towards Thanksgiving. This is my pre-Thanksgiving message. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Moses has brought them out of bondage. He's brought them through the desert. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And this is his pre-speech for them to go in. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, nut, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. Anybody want to go? I'm just asking. Anybody want to go? Say with me, the new is better than the old. Man, that doesn't sound bad to me. Say lack nothing. Say nothing lacking. Nothing missing. He said, you're getting ready to go into a state of existence. You're getting ready to go into a season where everything you have need of is provided and you will lack nothing. Say lack nothing. Elbow your neighbor and say, it's in the Bible. Say, lack nothing. You're getting ready to go. So we're transitioning. We're moving. We're going. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig out copper from the hills. Say with me, I can dig it out. If I were to tell you there were gold in them there hills, would you do any digging? It's interesting to me how many people you can say, hey, there's gold in them hills, and they sit there and think the gold's going to bubble up. No, it's not oil. You got to do some digging. Look at your neighbor and say, get deeper. I get so tickled about people that are still drinking milk out of a bottle. That was my pretty picture. Say, dig deeper. Say it again. Dig. Dig in. Dig in. There's gold. I want to live in that land. I want to go into that next season. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Did you know you are one praise away from the next season of your life? But that you can't go into the next season of your life if you are not thanking God for what he has already done in your life. You are one praise. Touch your neighbor and say one shout, one moment, one thank you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Do you know how many human beings have a problem remembering that God is good? They just have trouble remembering. Shove your neighbor and say, hey, he's good. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God is good, failing to observe his commandments, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle, there's too many people I know that have become satisfied in their experience with God and they have settled down. Listen, I'm not settled down. There are 40-some years that I have known Jesus. I'm not about to settle down. I'm not about to do that. Listen, too many people get satisfied and settle down. Have you ever been? I have people all the time come and say, I don't understand why you're so excited. Get saved. Because if you ever meet Jesus, you'll be excited about not going to hell. You'll be excited about God providing for you. And when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase and all have multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert. How many of you came out? How many of you know that the Lord is your shepherd and he came into and he carried you out of? How many were here last week and the shepherd picked you up and carried you out? How many know you're out? Touch your name and say, I'm out. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end you might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Say it with me, he gives me the ability to get up and go to work. He gives me the energy to do what I do. He's given me the mind to solve the problems that I have to solve. Anything I'm able to do and able to produce, he gave me the ability, the skills, the aptitude. I thank God every day that I can think. Because I know a lot of people that don't. Come on. Think about it. Those people they don't think. I thank God that I can think. I thank God every day that I can run that iPhone. Because I'm around a lot of people that obviously they can't run it because they're running into everything, staring at that thing. Never mind. I thank God that he's given the ability to produce wealth, so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. Listen, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about not forgetting to be grateful. About not forgetting to praise, about how to transition in your life, how to make up your mind before you go into the promised land to remember where you came from. Listen, I came from Severy, Kansas. Some of you are going, where's that? No kidding. To not forget where I was raised by grandparents that were Oklahoma red dirt farmers that picked cotton to live. I was raised with people that got one pair of shoes a year, and if they didn't last, you cut out the toes. I was raised in a place where you have no... Listen, you are headed into the promises of God, but you have to understand that you have a proclivity to forget the goodness of God. I've pastored long enough to see how God takes people out of a mess into a good time, but they have this tendency to forget. And they have to be reminded. You see, the gifts of God alone will never produce joy in your life. But God's gifts can only give you joy when they are joined with your gratitude. That until you're grateful for the things that God has done for you, it'll never really produce happiness in your life. That gratitude is the prerequisite for entering into the promises of God. That Moses said, hey, it's taken us 40 years to get here, but I'm going to warn you, you need to remember to praise God when you come into that. Some of you have been leveled off for so many years. You've got better, but now you're stuck and you can't figure out why the lid is on your life. The lid is on your life because you've stopped thanking God for what he has done for you. It's not a problem with him, it's a problem with you. Oh, happy Thanksgiving. You know, if you've been to my home, Annie and I live on 6 acres and we're surrounded by trees. I love trees. I just love trees. And yesterday, Annie and I were working out in the yard and we were doing some things. And did you know not one of them trees got up and walked in and got in my fireplace? Not a one of them. I nearly wore myself out yanking on two old chainsaws trying to get them to run. Never did get them to run. Did you know you can be surrounded with the raw material to heat your life, but if you don't go out and cut it down and put it in pieces and put it in your fireplace, it'll never do anything in your life. God has surrounded you with the raw material of life, has given you himself, lives inside of you. But honey, if you don't participate in that process, it will never get out of the tree and get into your... The problem has nothing to do with the supply. It has everything to do with, are you grateful? Gratitude is what turns the gifts of God into the realities of being able to experience them in every day of your life. You don't need another level of accomplishment. You need to rise to another level of appreciation. If we could just learn to appreciate what God has already done for us. You see, the world measures success on accumulation. God measures success on appreciation. We need to move from this significance of accumulation. It's not about how much you got. It's about how much you praise. See, if you grow in gifts but not in gratitude, what have you gained? If you don't know what to do with what you got, you'll never be happy. See, happy people are not people who have everything. Happy people are those who make the most out of everything they have. Anybody here? Am I doing okay? You look like you're depressed. You know, you can change your emotion over this sermon by just acting like you're grateful right now. You could be acting like you're grateful and make the person sitting beside you, this sermon's for you because I am grateful. You could take all the attention off of you by going ahead and decide, I think I'll be grateful right now so the people beside me think I am. And of course, everybody in this room is grateful. It's the people at home that aren't grateful, right? It's the people watching online that stayed home. They're ungrateful. I'm grateful. I got up, cleaned up, and came this morning, Pastor. Look how grateful I am. Yeah, I can tell. Oh. You do understand that your body language is louder than your words. You do understand. Oh, if you don't believe me, just ask her. Well, are you saying, I get so tickled, if I could just have a spouse. Honey, you don't love yourself. Why would anybody else? You don't like yourself. Why would anybody else like you? If you put on someone else that they're supposed to make you happy, you're never going to be happy because it is not her job or his job to make you happy. It's your job to be happy with God. Oh, well. See, I wouldn't want to take that fight on either. I'm just unhappy in my marriage. So is he. I need to hush, don't I? I'm just meddling with you this morning. I'm needling at you this morning. I love books. I just love books. There's a book out written by Brené Brown. It's called The Gifts of Imperfection. And I'm just going to read to you what she says. When it comes to gratitude, the word that jumped out at me through the process of research is practice. Say practice. I don't necessarily think another researcher would have ever been as taken back, but as someone who thought that knowledge was more important than practice, I found these words to be a call to action. Say, practice. How many know that gratitude is not natural? It's not natural. Have you ever fed a two-year-old? A two-year-old, Jason, does not care what you have sacrificed to put that food on that plate. They just... And if you don't think they have gratitude for what you feed them, try the other end. I mean to tell you. They'll roll around. What should have been a simple contained process now has become a contamination zone. You have to get bottles and detox the whole room. I refuse. Because they're just, listen, gratitude is not a natural process. No one instinctively appreciates what's been done for them. She goes on to say, I used to subscribe to the notion that of an attitude of gratitude. And since I've learned that an attitude is simply an orientation or way of thinking, I have come to realize that having an attitude, you ever been around anybody that has an attitude? That having attitude does not really translate into good behavior. For example, I would be reasonable to say that I have a yoga attitude. The ideas, the beliefs guide my life are these that I associate with yoga. I have the value of mindfulness, breathing, body, spirit connection. I even have yoga outfits. But let me assure you, my yoga attitude and outfits do not mean jack when you put me on a yoga mat and ask me to stand on my head or strike a pose. And as I'm sitting here writing this, I've never practiced yoga. I plan to change that in the near future, but I've never put the attitude into action. Listen, you can get the bumper sticker. You can put I love Jesus on the bumper of your car. You can buy the t-shirt, but honey, if all you got's an attitude, it don't mean jack. Gratefulness is more than an attitude. Gratefulness is an action. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of being. It's what you do with your life. Listen, Thanksgiving is not a holiday. It's a habit. Thanksgiving's not Thursday. It's every day. Yes. To get up every day and thank God for the breath that... Oh. It seems to me that gratitude without actions is like faith without works. Amen. Oh yeah, but Pastor, it's in my heart. You know what's in my heart. No, stupid. I'm not a cardiologist. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't want to be a cardio. I'm not a brain surgeon. I don't know what you're thinking either. Just sit there. It'll get worse. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say. When you go sit in that land, remember to praise me. Remember to say you're thankful. Remember to be grateful. You know, everything I've ever learned, I've learned in two places, just to be real honest with you. I learned them on a flannel graph or at a table. I'm serious. I learned all the stories that I preached today at a flannel graph in the bottom of a Nazarene church in Severy, Kansas, where Mrs. Shepherd would pull out and put store up on that blue flannel board. That's where I learned. The other place I learned what I know is around a table. It was around a table that stories were told. I found my identity in the stories that I was told as a child. I realized that who I am is the product of people that had lived before me and had done many things, and that I was born into that story. And it was around a table that those stories were told. I'm going to tell you something. An untabled faith is an unstable faith. That the world today is struggling with the identity of what it means to be a Christian because they've made up all kinds of stories and never come back to the real story at the real table. I want to suggest to you, according to my research, that one out of five meals we eat in the car. That one out of four eat fast food every day. That we spend the same amount of money on fast food as we do groceries. 60 years ago, it took 90 minutes to eat a meal. Today, it's 12. That parents spend an average of 38.5 minutes with their children a week. If you haven't figured out, the most watched scene on television today, people record it and go watch it, is Blue Bloods. I love Tom Selleck. I think Tom Selleck is just... And the scene where he's sitting at the table with his family is the absolutely most watched clip on television today. People are hungry for family and for family meals. Your children will forget the rules and the regulations that you tell them, but they will never forget the relationship and the depth of family that is found around a family table. I am not teaching you anything I don't live. I have lived this way for 59 years. I was raised around a table. I've raised my children around a table. I can give you all kinds of stats. The parents who raise their children to be drug-free, healthy, and intelligent, and kind human beings, the answer, frequent family dinners. The sharper vocabulary in a young child, even more than a family event, is frequent family dinners. The predicator of future academic success in elementary-age children, frequent family dinners. How do you prevent eating disorders? Frequent family dinners. Do you understand the Bible begins in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, where God says, eat freely? Do you understand the Bible ends in Revelation 22, verse 17? Drink freely. That God created everything that we live in, he said, eat and drink, enjoy. Why? Because God does his greatest work at a table. He was born in a manger. That's a feeding trough. He finished his ministry in the upper room around a table. When this is all over, we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb to a table. Why? Because family is gathered around a table where relationships are created and stories are passed on. People long to be involved in relationships that matter and stories that change their lives. And we have the greatest story of it all. Notice how quiet it gets in here. Most of you on Thursday are going to sit down at a table. You're going to sit down at a table with people you love. You're going to sit around great food. And you're going to talk about last Thanksgiving. You're going to talk about that great Thanksgiving where Nebraska beat OU. It was a bad day. It was a bad day. It's a bad day. 1971 is a bad day. Some of you don't even remember 1971. I do. I hate Tom Osborne. You'll get it in a minute. See, I'm telling you, the best way to shape people is around a table. It's the absolute greatest place to shape the lives of people. See, you and I are walking in blessings today that were prayers yesterday. And the very first lesson we learn, this was Annie's table. She can't remember when it was given to her. She was a little bitty kid. And we've carried it around. We've been married 40 years. We've carried it around forever. I can't tell you the number of children that have sat at that table. I painted it because we're getting ready to use it again on Thursday. And I can't tell you the number of little children that have sat at that table and had Thanksgiving at the kiddie table. Do you remember sitting at a kiddie table? Listen, we don't want to stay at the kiddie table, do we? But did you know, at the kiddie table, listen to Moses when he makes this statement. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Do you know that before you let a child eat, you pray something like, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. Do you know that the very first level of praise is thank God for? Listen, all these kids, you're never going to let a kid sit down and just start eating. No, you're going to make the kids stop for a minute and humble themselves and realize somebody else prepared the meal. Somebody else has given them. And so the very first thing you teach a child at a kiddie table is thank you for the, say for the, for the air I breathe, for the house that I live in, for the car that I rode here in, for the clothes on my back, for mommy and daddy who love me. Right? The very first thing you learn around a table is to thank God for the things that he's given you. That's gratitude. I teach that to my children. Don't you teach that to your children? It's that simple this morning. I'm telling you, the first action of gratitude is to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord, to let it be verbalized. God, I thank you this morning. For the air, for the life, for my spouse, for my children, my grandchildren. Hear me. I stood and held Manny this morning as he was just bouncing. If I'd raised my hand, he'd raise his hand, and I thank God. Maybe we ought to stop and recognize that Thanksgiving's not a day, it's a habit. It's the way we as Christians live, and we teach our children around the table to thank God for the things that God has done for us. And we circle together and we remember it. How many of you have electricity? Squirrel. How many have electricity? How many of you know that if you don't appreciate the electricity that you had last month, they send you a reminder? And they remind you that they gave you electricity last month. And on the bottom of that reminder, it's got red letters gone, past due. And that if you don't respond to the reminder that you need to be thanking them for electricity that you got last month, you might not have any power. Are you here? Are you listening? I wonder how many of you got past due praise. I wonder how many of you have failed to praise God for what he's done in your life, and the notice is past due. Listen, I pray your power doesn't go off. I thank God he's not like the power company. But could I suggest to you that maybe you ought to praise God for what he's already done in your life, and that we teach that to children. I don't want to stay that way. I don't know about you, but I'd like to go to the adult table. I'm using props this morning. I'd like to go to the adult table. My 7-8-year-old grandchildren, they want to go to the adult table. They want to go into a different way of being, and they want to experience bigger stories, greater stories. Moses shows us that, listen, when you get over there, remember to thank God for the provision of your life. But then we come across David in Psalm 23. You know, the one we read at funerals? For the Lord is my, I shall not. He makes me lie down in. He leads me beside. He restores my. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though, say even though, say even though. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comforts me. Listen, he's talking about a different level of prayer. We're not now going for the, we're going even though. Can I be real honest with you this morning? On Thursday morning, my family will sit around the table and we will thank God for the, and we will also bow our heads at an adult table and go, even though. Even though Porter's not with us, even though we've lost a few things, even though we hurt, we will thank God for the, and we will thank God even though we are surrounded by enemies, even though we have insecurities. That's a greater degree of gratitude. Am I making any sense to anybody in this room? You need to move from an attitude into a habit of thanking God for everything you have and then thanking God in spite of the enemies that are surrounding you. Even though you battle insecurities and weaknesses, even though you battle things on the inside, you need to be able to throw your head back and go, he is my shepherd. I shall not want. And even though it looks bad, I'm going to lift up my voice and praise my God, because my life is not based on the circumstances around me, but it's based on the presence of the Lord who is with me. Man, I'm doing the best I can up here. See, we teach our children. I'll teach these children on Thursday, but I promise you I'm going to sit with my adult children over here, and the conversation will be different, and the teaching will be different, and somewhere we need to move. There's a lot of people. I just had a guy walk out of service, good friend of mine, first service. He says, I love sitting at the kiddie table. I said, I know you do. You're an immature guy. And at your age, you ought to get over it. Yeah, this is easy. This mom and daddy can teach you. This you have to grow up. Touch your neighbor and say, grow up. Grow up. Thanksgiving ought to be even though I'm doing this. This isn't going to be a long message. You might get out before the Baptist. I better pray that he anoints me or something, that I could go a little longer. And he took the bread. And he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. When you sit in the land and you eat pomegranates that you didn't grow, you praise me. This is my body. This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood shed for you. Paul would repeat it. He said, I received from the Lord that which I've also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. And in the same manner, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do, say this do, For the, even though, this do. Are you listening to me? Listen, you need not only to grow up and be an adult, but you need to be able to come to the Lord's table. I have more question about why we serve communion than any other thing we do. It's because I'm trying to get you to the Lord's table, because around the Lord's table, you know the story of His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His return. We are part of a family of the redeemed, because God sent His only Son to die on a cross. And because of His sacrifice, you and I have been forgiven. That's our story. That's our story. You hear me? There is an identity crisis in American religion, and I say in developed religion, because we don't bring people back to the table and say, hey, you need to remember you've been carried to the table. Mephibosheth was carried to the table. You need to remember that God eats with everybody. He ate with the tax collectors and the sinners. He ate with everyone. He ate with Levi. He ate with Simeon. God does His greatest work around a table. And we come to the Lord's table, and at the Lord's table, He doesn't feed us with pomegranates and milk or honey. He feeds us with Himself. And can I tell you, my favorite meal in the whole world is to sit at the Lord's table. And just for those of you that keep watching and sending me letters, that table doesn't have to be liturgically correct. It has to be relationally correct. I don't have to say all the right words at all the right time, make all the right gestures, though I know them. What I have to do is relate properly. You see, folks, you have to know the story that children know. You have to know the story that adults know. But you have to know the story that only the Lord tells. And you have to come to that table, and you have to remember. And you have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. He gave His life for others. You're His family. Are you giving your life to others? Are you giving out of your own life to other people? See, this is easy to come in here and thank God for this and that. Thank God that even though. But you do realize when you get up and walk out of here, you're supposed to go treat other people like Christ has treated you. You're supposed to go do laundry down the... You're supposed to buy a turkey and take it over to your neighbor. That the way you express thanksgiving is by giving to somebody else. That out of your own life, you give away. I don't care in here whether you raise your hands, jump, or shout. What I really care is that in the morning when you get up, would you go love other people? Would you go give out of your heart? Because see, am I making any sense? What is thanksgiving about? Invite someone to eat with you. In the morning, don't wait for us to have a program. Did you know you can go buy a gift card and take it to some widow? You can go buy a gift card and go give it to a child? I can give you the name of foster parents today that they could actually use a little extra. If you don't know anybody, there are 100 and some families that bring their children into this child care, and many of them have subsidies because they're low-income people. You say, yeah, but I'm low income. You want to get out of that? Help somebody else. Give out of your need. Give out of your need. Don't wait till you got a lot. Give when you don't have any. If you don't know who to bless this week, oh, Pastor, I wanted you to be rah-rah. I actually apologize to the lady from Australia. I ought to be more excited, but I'm trying to affect people's lives. I'm trying to tell you that it's not enough to think it. It's not enough for it to be in your heart. It has to be in your hands. It has to come out here. And you can do this. You can do it this afternoon. You can stop by Dylan's and pick something up. Again, if you don't know how to do it, give it to me. I know who to give it to. I guarantee you, I know who to give it to. I got a list this long. They walk in that door every week asking us. Do you understand? When you give your tithes and offerings, you create margin. See, without margin, there is no ministry. What am I talking about? Oh, come on. If you're a business person, what it takes to run the thing and what you get in. If there's a big difference between what it takes to turn everything on and what we get in, that right there is what I can give away. And I guarantee you, whatever you give, I give it away. I give it away faster than it comes in. Every once in a while they turn around and go, hey! Do this. I'm asking you to grow up this year at Thanksgiving and realize, do this. Receive his life, but give his life away. It's a great story I love to tell. It's two stories, actually. I'll lighten it up a bit. And I started to tell this. I realize I got Coach sitting back here. You may know this story better than I do. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird didn't like each other. They played opposed to one another. They didn't really like each other. And after their careers, they were asked to do something for a charity, and they decided to do it at Larry Bird's mom's house. And so they shooting this stuff, and mom fixed a meal for Larry and Magic, and they went in and sat down at the meal, and Larry Bird says, that's when I fell in love with Magic Johnson. Over a meal. Over a meal. And Larry Bird said, because I never really knew the man. I knew the player, but I didn't know the man. Wonder how many people we share life with, but we really don't know them. Did you know first dates always have to do with a meal? Always have to do with a meal. If you really want to know somebody, take them for a meal. Did you know the Bible says if you're going to give a lunch, invite these people, but if you're going to do a banquet, invite everybody? Another great story, and I'll end. I'm going to get you out of here early. Wow. Guy wanted to go to London out of New York. So he bought a ticket on a ship. That's before they had planes. Bought a ticket on a ship, and they get on the ship, and you know, it's like a 5-day thing. But he didn't think he had enough money to afford the meal ticket. So he put peanut butter and bread in his suitcase, and for about 3 days he'd eat peanut butter and bread, some cheese that he had, but he'd notice all them people going in and out of the cafeteria and having these great meals and laughing. Finally, on the 5th day, he just couldn't handle it anymore, and he goes to the captain and goes, is there any way I can get a meal? And the captain goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I didn't have enough money. He goes, buddy, the meals were included in the ticket. I want to look at a lot of Christians and say, yes, we're going to heaven, but do you understand the meal is included in the ticket? Before you can do this for anybody else, you have to be able in a minute to go, thank you, God, that you gave your life to me. Listen, you can't give away what you haven't received. If when you come to this table, you're just going through emotion, don't bother. I'm serious. But when you come to this table, listen, my kids are going to have mashed potatoes and gravy. We're going to have turkey and ham and shrimp, and you do whatever you want to. I'll do what I want to. We're going to have all kinds of stuff. But if they don't eat it, you have to be able to receive. And I realize the cracker and the grape juice, but they represent something. How many of you got a dollar bill in your pocket? $5 bill. $10 bill. No, you don't. Because the word dollar is a weight of precious metal. It's a weight of precious metal. What you have in your pocket is a note that represents something that is precious. You use paper money, and some of you don't even do that. You got a credit card, a debit card. And that debit card symbolizes the money that's in a bank. Do you understand? I don't think this is a magic cookie. I don't think it's a... But I do think it represents something. Represents someone. And I believe that when you take that $10 bill out of your pocket and go to Starbucks, they give you back. And if by faith this morning you walk up and you say, I receive the death, the burial, and the resurrection of life. If you walk up this morning and say, I once was lost, but now this is Jesus, and he gives himself to me every day. He shows up in my world every day. And so I come in front of the culture in which I live, and And I say I live not by bread alone, but by every word. I live because Jesus loves me. Am I making any sense? So if you don't believe in actions and rituals and symbols, don't kiss her again. Just saying. Symbols mean everything. That's why I wear one of these. So I'm just saying, this morning when you come back to the table, think about how you used to go to this one. You used to go to this one. Wherever people are gathered together in His name, if they thank God for what He's done for them, and they remember His death, His burial, and His resurrection, He says, there I am. Do this and remember my death until I come. Wow. Maybe the center of worship is not the shout that I have. She's fine. Maybe the goosebump I get is not it. Maybe it's what I receive from Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Father's House. We hope you stay connected by following us online at fathershouse.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @TFHHutch.